You are listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every single episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny Hill.
I am Dan Hill.
Let's get cracking.
Boom! Booyah, folks. Thanks for listening to the Melrose Place podcast. If you haven't already, please leave us an Apple Podcast review on iTunes.
Do it.
We would really, really appreciate that.
We'd love it.
And we will read it on the show, no matter if it's good or bad. You're awesome. Thanks in advance. We're here at Season 2, Episode 16, Reunion Blues. Air date, January 5th. 1994. Happy New Year, Jenny.
Oh, thank you.
We normally do this every now and then, but the stuff happening in the world around this time.
Paint a picture.
Let me paint you a little picture. So Melrose Place was airing on Fox at 9 o'clock. Try to keep up, Jenny.
I'm trying.
They were up against Home Improvement.
Ooh.
Grace Under Fire.
Oh, that's a good show.
Mm-hmm. And this specific episode was airing against ABC's Grammys, the 35th, I believe.
Do you have the song of the year?
Yeah.
What is it?
I will tell you. But it was also up against Now with Tom Brokaw and Katie Couric, a hit song. From
yeah,
this
like,
time?
Like who won like
oh,
best
I don't
song
know.
At the Grammys.
I don't know. But the hit song is probably Mariah Carey, Hero.
And then a hero comes along. If I wasn't sick, I would sing the whole thing for you.
Yeah. A couple movies that were out around this time. Clerks.
Oh, classic.
Tombstone.
Love it.
Philadelphia.
Great.
Fantastic film.
Yeah.
And Sister Act 2.
Gosh, I just want to time travel back to this time.
Jan 5, 94 was a time to be alive.
You're telling me.
It really was. And if you want to see Billy in a pool of sweat.
Oh, God, why?
Boom.
Oh, so we open. But first, we open to the courtyard of Melrose Place. And we get a really good shot of this guy who is tending to the pool.
Yeah.
Mullet still. And I'm wondering, is it the same guy every time?
He evolves.
Or is it like considered kind of like an honor that, oh, you get to be the pool boy for this episode?
I think it's a father-son duo, like a team, family,
well, like
family
they,
business.
They own like a pool cleaning service or something.
Yeah. Because I think they swap between a dude, an older guy and a younger guy.
Yeah, that's probably right. Do you think they do their landscaping, too?
If they do, they're doing a horrible job.
So stick plants, to pools.
Plants are fucked. The sprinklers are off. Timer. Things are not going well in that department.
We then go to the scene that Dan was referring to earlier, and it's one of those scenes where we start like really close up on something, and you can't really tell what it is. And then it's like a really slow pan, and at first it's like, what are we seeing here? And then finally you're able to make out like a calf, and then like a knee, and it's in motion.
Slow pan,
and it's
physical.
Like, you think, is someone like having sex? Like, I really didn't know what's going on until we see Billy like hardcore doing push-ups and sit-ups, and
he's basically creating the P90X workout.
But
before
guys,
it even happens,
he is sweating so profusely it's like abnormal.
Yeah, he's doing clap push-ups, and then he's juggling a soccer ball in the house,
and then okay,
which is his cardio.
The shot for me that was like vomit inducing when he was doing sit-ups and then you could see the pool of sweat in his belly button.
Ugh.
Oh my God, guys. It was like you could like take a dip in there. It was so gross.
Dude, it was horrible. It was so bad we had to rewind it and watch it again.
Like many times.
Yucky. And then like it pulls away from him so you can see like what he's actually doing. And he's doing crunches on a couch pillow.
On a pillow. And then his feet are up on the couch. And then Allison walks in the room and is like, oh, hey, Billy, if I walked into a room and your sweaty ass was on one of our couch pillows and you were just like lounging with your like big tree trunk legs that are all like pools of sweat on the couch, I would beat your ass.
I'd be like, hang on, Jenny, I just have to empty my belly button.
Oh, yucky.
Oh, man. So, yeah, Billy is just, he's breaking, sweating to the oldies. Allison has to go to work, but first she's gonna have breakfast with Joe
before work. Who the heck gets up early enough to have like breakfast dates with friends?
Who's got time for that?
I mean, I just like, does anybody do that?
I'm lucky if I get like a piece of a Hawaiian bread roll
like out on the way out. Yeah,
I'm not just gonna pop over, have breakfast,
you
with
know
my
what?
Buddy.
I'm just gonna go, you know, do breakfast with my friend before work. That sounds like awful.
It's pretty weird. And Billy is just like, okay, see you later. And then immediately he gives you a Billy look. Like is she gone? I was just working out like that so that she would leave.
She wouldn't be suspicious.
Yeah, thank God. I'm about to have a heart attack out here. So he doesn't give her any time. He immediately walks out, which I thought like at least like,
well, give it a minute.
Yeah, give it a, like 30 seconds at least.
No, he was like, the second she goes upstairs to Joe's apartment, he darts out the front door, and then he runs toward Amanda's apartment.
Straight to Amanda's.
Now, my first instinct is, my heart's racing. I'm like, yes, he's cheating on Allison.
Yeah, I thought he was going up there to get some.
Yeah, I did too, and I was like, this is awesome. Please, please, please. But au contraire, that is not the case.
He goes upstairs and he asks Amanda basically to keep what happened between us, even though it was great. It was fun.
He says, I have a real shot with Allison and I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That is horrible. How would that make you feel?
If I was Amanda?
You hook up with somebody, you have feelings for them, and they come to you and they're like, you know, I got a real shot with getting back with my ex, so could you just, like, you know, keep this on the DL?
Shh, keep it on the low.
I'd be like, I hate you.
I'd be like, I'm going to call her right now. And I'm her boss, you idiot. Way to make it hot.
And then.
But why is Billy the one, like, I can't screw this up with Allison? She's the one who should be groveling to Billy.
And honestly, you're right. I mean, Billy could have been like, yeah, I hooked up with Amanda. What?
Yeah.
You were off like with Steve in La La Land.
Yeah, nice car. Nice fucking Jeep I have to get into every day now. How the hell did you get that? What's that conversation like?
Well, Amanda is not loving this whole conversation.
No.
And she says, you know what, Billy? I thought that I may have had a chance to rekindle something with you, but now I forgot one important fact.
Yes, lay it on us.
And then he's like, oh, well, what's that? And Amanda says, you're just a kid.
Boom!
And it's so true!
I wanted to stand up and slow clap that moment. Just saying what we're all thinking. Billy, you fucking child.
So we go over to Joe's apartment where Allison and she are having breakfast, and Joe tells Allison that she is planning on going to her high school reunion in San Francisco.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense.
This is the first time we're introduced to the fact that she went to high school in the Bay Area and then moved to New York. I mean, I just assumed that she was from New York.
They... Here's what happened, I bet. They ran into a problem. They're like, how can we introduce a new character and how can we make Joe want to go to a high school reunion that is across the country?
And they're probably like, we didn't tell the audience where she grew up. Like, for all they know, she could have been from the Bay Area.
From the Bay. Yeah, but that's bullshit. They just wanted to bring her closer. And she's like, from New York.
And then that just like gives it the, you remember when she first moved out and she was like, oh, all you California people, you're so bright and sunshine. And she was like making fun of everybody for being from California. And it was like,
bitch, you're from San Fran.
You're from like Sacramento. You don't got any room to talk.
Yeah. So she's all willy nilly like, oh, should I go? And Allison's like, yeah, sure, you should definitely go. But what? What's so funny?
Ooh, should I go?
Should I go?
Like, why did she just turn into a 90-year-old?
I don't know. But look, so it's Joe's 10-year high school reunion. We finally have an age on Joe.
Yeah.
If she was 18.
28.
She's 28.
And, you know, Allison encourages it. She says, look, it was high school's a big part of growing up. You're a photographer, and you'll impress all of the people in the Shutterbug Club. Like, you're a big L.A. photo girl now. Go out and have fun and rekindle some relationships with old friends.
And season one Joe would receive an invite to her high school reunion and fucking burn it.
Yeah.
She would rip it up and be like, of course not.
Yeah, the fact that she's contemplating this, even attending, is weird. And then it's almost like she's afraid of it.
Yeah, she's a real...
like, scared.
She's really nervous about a high school reunion. But Allison, like, pumps her up and, of course, is, like, the voice of reason.
So we then go over to Jane's apartment where she's getting ready to leave for the day. And Michael comments that she looks pretty and asks, are those the earrings that she's wearing that he had gotten her for Christmas? And he's like, oh, funny. I don't see you wearing Robert's gift.
Robert's pendant is close to my heart, Michael.
And she whips it out from under her shirt like, I am wearing it.
I've never witnessed a jewelry pissing contest.
And I gotta say, too, it's kind of weird that she's wearing two pieces of jewelry from her new boyfriend and ex-husband.
Why?
I have jewelry from my old boyfriends, and I just...
What?
I don't know.
I don't care.
I would never wear them again. I have them, but I just wouldn't wear them.
Who cares? She can wear them.
I think it's weird.
It's just jewels. I got clothes from exes.
That still fits.
And video games.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
yeah. But and Michael, he also mentions to Jane that he's been making some breakthroughs in his rehabilitation.
Yes. Any day now he's gonna have a breakthrough.
Yeah. And she's just like, good, cool.
Bye.
Robert went down on me again.
So next up, we see Amanda tentatively walking over to Jake's door with a piece of paper. She goes to knock, rethinks, slides the paper under his door, but then he opens it just in time to catch her in the act.
And he just says, what the hell is this? And she's
like,
it's
an eviction notice, Jake.
And Jake's like, dude, relax. This is illegal. You can't just kick me out of here, okay? Yeah.
And he's totally right. Just because he's like, on a whim, you can't just say I have to leave. Like, I live here. You can't do this. And I totally agree with him.
Yeah. Amanda's just being a little bitch. And she says, get out of here, Jake. And get out of my life. Get out of my life.
Okay. So, guys, the next shot is Joe at her cool bikini photo shoot.
And you don't mean cool at all.
This looks so terrible.
I hope you mean cool as in like the temperature.
Well, it was. Because remember, she's like, come on, girls. Pretend like you're hot.
It's... Pretend like you're in the Sierra.
The Sahara Desert.
You should have seen my last shoot. There was a lovely piano on the beach. And a bunch of weirdos.
And then I just shot a guy making love to a computer.
Yeah. And then before that, I made this underwear model get butt naked. And didn't shoot the underwear.
Anyway, so she's taking some snaps. And these gals are all, like, positioned. It looks like Marina Del Rey or, like, somewhere. We're, like, both. I don't even, like, this. It's, like, at a public park. It's not good.
No.
And Amanda, of all people, she comes up.
Struts up. She's like, oh, hey, Joe, can I interrupt your work? What are you doing here? And Joe tells her, like, yeah, I'm on a shoot.
And we find out she's working for a competing advertising agency.
Ooh. And, yeah, Amanda comments. She's like, oh, wow, that's really good. Well, anyways, I'm trying to kick Jake out of the apartment because he abused us. And I need you to write a letter that says that he fucked up your apartment.
And then she's like, no. And then Amanda's like, didn't this guy dump you without looking back? And Joe's like, yeah, and you had a lot to do with that. Just like, for real.
Yeah, Joe is all of us.
And then Amanda's like, Joe, we're in this together. We have to band together to get Jake out of our lives. And then Joe fires back with, don't try this sisterhood crap with me. You're in it for yourself, Amanda, and that's okay. But don't drag me into it. Leave me alone.
And Amanda just knows it. She's like, oh, damn it. She knows my angle.
But, like, how could you go and interrupt somebody in the middle of their work to ask them something like that? I'd be like, and don't ever come visit me at work again.
Yeah.
This is so unprofessional.
Like, yeah, you're my landlord. Like, send me a letter. Yeah. Knock on my door.
Get out of here.
Don't come to work. Don't come to my work when I'm trying to shoot these women in weird positions.
So next up we go to probably one of my favorite scenes of the entire episode.
Michael at rehab.
Physical therapy. And you know what? Why is Matt there?
That's exactly what I wrote. I wrote, what exactly is Matt's position at the hospital?
Because he's...
What's he involved in?
And I don't, are they at a hospital? Because... rehab centers are not always in a hospital.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Matt wasn't in the episode at all besides the scene where he just basically said a line.
He's only there...
for what?
...to observe. It's like when Matt was in the old episodes. Like, he was the one who would take you to class.
Like, he was the facilitator.
Yeah. He'd do Rhonda's cardio funk. He went to her audition... and just sat in the lobby.
Yeah, he's like their parent.
Didn't he go to like the abortions?
He's the guardian.
He signs the papers.
So Michael is trying to walk, and they have him kind of like, it's almost like parallel bars.
Oh, where, no, it is.
Yeah, he's leaning on the bars, and he's trying to put weight on his feet, and he's not putting any weight on his feet.
There's this aggressive doctor on the other end like, come on, Michael. Let's do it.
Michael gets frustrated, and he's like, goddamn legs.
And he looks at the other doctor on the other side. He's like, you shut the hell up, doctor. I will do this how I want. And he's just dragging his feet. He's like, you can't use your arms the whole time. Put some weight on your feet. And then Matt's in the corner just like, dum-de-dum-dum-dum-dum.
So then Michael gets so frustrated that he somehow falls. He falls a lot.
No, but even before that, he is fueled by the anger towards the doctor on the end. And he's he's basically like, I'm going to fight you when I get over there. And he falls on his face.
Yeah.
And then Matt comes over and he's like, are you okay? Michael, are you all right?
And then Michael's like, I felt something. I felt something in my foot. I felt something. And then they get him right back on the bars. And then the rehab guy is like, Michael, that's the last time you're using that chair. You're leaving here in crutches today. And it's like, what? In what world is this possible?
It's like, this is the first episode he doesn't have a scabby face.
For real. And it's been months.
Yeah.
It has been literally months. So I don't know how they're doing it, but Michael does begin to walk.
It seems like he's going to come around. He's going to come out the other side of this.
Joe makes a pit stop to Jake's apartment before she's leaving to go to her high school reunion in San Francisco. She wants to let him know that she never cashed that check for $15,000 and that she realizes that he's in a kind of tough situation financially, and if he needs to use that money, that, you know, she doesn't have to cash it, that he could think of it as a loan.
And isn't that fucked up? If you never cash somebody's check.
Well, remember,
it's messed up.
He was like, I don't want your money.
Yeah.
I'm not going, like, stop it.
Oh, I know. Jake hates money.
Yeah, yeah.
But just in general, if someone gives you a check, you should deposit it so that it's not just sitting in their bank account.
No, I agree.
Especially that much money. It's like he's constantly just like looking at his bank and it's a 15 grand
in
there.
And back then, it's not like he can go online. It's not like he can go to an ATM. He's got to like go to his bank and be like, how much do I have in there?
Yeah. And every day they're like, $15,005. Like, God damn it, Joe. Cash that check. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. It is kind of
jerky. You should cash it.
So, of course, he is like, look, I don't mean to be a jerk, but I don't want to go through this again. I don't want the money. It's yours. And she's like, okay, I know. And then she's like, I just got to know, why in God's name did you get involved with a bitch like Amanda?
Yeah,
that's like always, that's on all of our like minds. Why?
And he's just like, well, I like a challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a weird roundabout answer. But they leave it. She's asking basically, are we friends? And Jake's like, yep. Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
It's cool. So, two steps forward. Now we go to Shooters. Michael is just on crutches, chilling at Shooters.
He got rid of the chair, guys.
Got rid of that chair.
Only one time at the rehab center. That did it.
That did the trick.
Yeah.
So he's at Shooters, chilling, celebrating by himself. And the only server at work at Shooters is Sydney, and she is waiting on Michael, and she's basically like, Michael needs a beer.
Yeah. And Sydney's like, oh, Michael, that's great, you're out of your chair, I'm so excited for you. And of course Michael does not care, and he's like, oh, Sydney, get out of here.
Michael's like, Sid, get the hell away from me,
you're a waitress, not my friend,
I don't want anything to fucking do with you.
Yeah, basically,
you disgusting person. And then she immediately flips the switch and she's like, you're a joke, Michael.
I'm sick of you over the hill, over sex people telling me what to do. I'm moving out. I'm going to the marina, and I'm going to get my own place where I don't have to see you anymore.
And Michael's just like, yeah, cool, great.
Like, I don't care. And then Jake shows up, and he's like, get my friend a beer.
And, like, I didn't realize that Jake and Michael just, like, still
like,
chill.
Like, we're boys like that.
Yeah. They still hang out.
But, you know, anybody who's anybody goes to Shooters, like, for every meal. So right. It could have just been like, oh, hey, we're just at the same place.
So Sydney doubles back for the beer, comes back, slams it on the table for Jake. And Jake's just like, whoa, take it easy. And what I found funny about this scene was that Jake asks Michael, like,
he's, you guys hooked up?
He's like, oh, what, did you guys do it? And Michael's like, yeah, a couple times, blah, blah, blah. But I just found it funny that, like, one, that Jake didn't know.
How would he know?
Word seems to travel fast in Melrose Place. I'm sure he could have seen him go upstairs or something, or Jane would have said something. I don't know. Maybe it's an embarrassing thing that everyone just tried to keep on the low. But yeah. If you're friends with Michael, then I figure you would know. How she was at the hospital when everybody was there. Like, Michael, are you okay?
Well, the thing that I found really weird about this scene is the way that Michael is talking about women in general. He's like, gosh, women, if you cross them, you better watch out because you mess up their perfect little lives. And then you better be sure that they're going to get you. And it's just kind of like making a generalization that all women are out to get men. It's like, shut up.
But really, the only person who's been out to get anyone is Michael.
Yeah, he's horrible.
He's out to get Jane any way he can.
And then Jake says, you may not be God's gift, but you sure are God's revenge on women. Which is very true.
It's a great quote.
So Jane and Robert are in the bedroom getting busy.
Well, Robert's busy. He loves going down on Jane.
And Jane's like, yup.
She's like, sweet.
And so at that moment, Jake and Michael stumble into the apartment. They're wasted.
And is this all right? Like, the first day you're off crutches, you get hammered at a bar with your bro.
And he's like mastered crutches. Like, he's really good at them.
Yeah, and you guys just crutch over to your fold-out couch with horrible back support.
Yeah, so Jake is kind of situating Michael, and they can hear moans from...
Oh, Robert.
From the bedroom.
And Robert's like,
you're so beautiful, Jane.
Oh, Robert. And then Michael just sort of, his face goes from... like, haha, we're hammered to, oh, fuck my life.
And Jake takes a cue and he's like, oh, why don't you come crash on the couch at my place? And Michael's like, no. I want to be here and listen to my ex-wife have sex.
Yeah, Michael, I wouldn't put it past him. They should have insinuated that he was going to, like, jerk off to it. like angry jerk off to it. That would have been cool. Like, just like, night. Cool. Like, they just sort of, like, slow like in on his face, just like just getting way more pissed about
Ew.
It and he's just jerking it like hate jerking
could
it.
Could they even like show that on TV at that time?
No, that's why they'd have to go in on his face, but like, and then like a single tear like pours down Michael's face.
Well,
and you just kind of hear it in the background like,
ew. I think that would be too graphic. 493 or 94, whenever this is.
That would have been amazing.
Okay. So we hear Jane say, oh, Robert, I love you.
And he just can't deal.
Yeah, next scene. This is the next morning. Amanda is going through the courtyard at Melrose Place to go to work. And she passes Billy's apartment door as Billy's coming out. And she just ignores him. And Billy's like... good morning, Amanda. We don't have to be enemies, you know. And it's like, Billy, what do you want?
Yeah, you want to just be cordial after all
Leave
that?
Leave her alone.
Yeah, Billy just doesn't get it.
He does not have a clue, man.
So Jane and Robert, they're in the no privacy apartment. It's the next day, and they're just like sort of kissing in the kitchen, like chit-chatting about the weekend and... what's going on? And I love you. I love you too.
And then the camera cuts to Michael, who's pretending to be asleep, but he's awake and he's hearing every word. So Robert says, oh, Jane, are you going to miss me when I go to San Diego for 4 days? And Michael's like perks up a little bit like, what? He's going to be out. And then,
you said something and you're like, how are they cool with this?
Like Michael's just on like, the couch. Yeah.
Your ex-husband is just sleeping and we're in this tiny apartment.
Weird.
It's so weird.
And then
weird.
They say something like to that effect, like, this is weird.
I could never do this.
Me neither. And Jane is like, don't worry, he'll be out of here soon. And Robert's like, yeah, he better. So Robert leaves and Michael's like just pretending to be asleep and everything. Jane sees him off and then he pretends to wake up after Robert has left and like, oh, good morning, Jane.
And he's like, hey, Jane, you notice something any different?
You notice anything missing in here? And Jane like looks around like half-heartedly like, nope, everything looks the same.
Jane should have been like, missing love?
My self-respect because my ex-husband is freaking sleeping on my couch for 3 months.
And he's just like, I got my crutches.
My wheelchair's gone. You think I could get a little congratulatory kiss?
And Jane's so bizarre.
Like, I don't think so, Michael. No.
That's just a bizarre request.
He's a freak.
Hey, will you kiss me?
And Jane's like, look, I am very proud of you. But, you know, I'm not going to kiss you. And he's like, well, Jane, I'll be out of your way pretty soon. And he's like, and she says, well, that's going to be probably best for the both of us.
Michael, she doesn't like you.
Get away.
Yeah, just give it up, bro. Go to the clinic. Get in the clinic.
And why does Michael want to get back with Jane anyways?
Yeah, who cares? Like,
what is his motivation?
It's you're so right. Weird. You're right. There's no value, like, explanation for now that Kimberly's gone. Why do you want it so bad?
Because the only thing he's like, well, after I went through this harrowing experience, I've noticed how I've hurt people in my life.
But that was all bullshit.
I don't know. It's just weird, all in all.
She doesn't want you, man.
Michael, listen to us.
Michael, if you're listening, get out of there, man. Just start fresh.
So next up, we go to D&D, where Amanda calls Allison into her office.
Effective immediately. I am pulling you from the microcomp account.
Due to your romantic relationship with Steve McMillan and other unprofessional behavior, you're off of it. And then, of course, Allison is like, but Amanda, that's my account.
This isn't fair.
Allison always, like, whines like that.
This isn't fair.
God, Amanda.
Why? I worked on that account. And Amanda's just like, it's all of ours.
We've all worked on it. And you know what? It's that kind of an attitude that doesn't fly around here. You're welcome to contest it upstairs, but I wouldn't advise that.
And she was like, it's kind of hard to miss that car.
Yeah.
She throws the car
in. And then she's like, well, you've been sleeping with the client. And she's like, I never slept with him.
Like, oh, please. The car out front's kind of hard to miss.
So she's off. Allison's off the account.
And this is just clear backlash from Billy.
Absolutely.
Wanting to get back with Allison. She's just gonna. We're right back in the saddle of Amanda making Allison pay for Billy shit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's like Amanda knew about this little affair for, you know, weeks, if not months, and now she's taking action. Basically, like after the unveiling of the product is done and it's like kind of cooled off.
Yeah.
Stupid. We're back at Shooters, where Sydney is waiting tables.
And she gets a little proposition.
Yeah, so this dude is like, hey, are you Sydney? And she's like, yeah. Well, Lauren gave me your name, and I've got a weakness for redheads. And Sydney is like, nope, you don't have enough money.
I'm out the game.
I'm out of it. I'm not doing this anymore. And he's really persistent. Like, she walks away. He gets up, follows her, grabs her by the wrist, and is like, hey, I'm talking to you. Like,
he's like, I got the money.
I'm willing to pay. And she's like, fine. Would you give me $2,000? And he's like, you bet.
Yep. So now we go to Hickman High, class of 84 reunion.
And I just want to understand why Joe made the decision to dress like Morticia Adams. Why?
She's wearing it's Joe.
But Morticia Adams goes to like a convent. So it's not like sexy low cut. It's like crushed velvet, total turtleneck.
I told you.
In addition to like a silk, like crazy, like silky wrap.
It's That's
like
the crap she was wearing last episode.
When you have a long sleeve crushed velvet dress on that goes to the floor, you don't necessarily need a shawl to keep you warm.
You defended her style. Because I liked her style before,
but this is kind of like, what? She looks very out of place. And I think that was done intentionally. Mm-hmm. Versus like the other people that were there at the reunion.
Yeah, she doesn't look good. She hits the name tag check-in table where she's met with by the president of the senior class. And it's any stereotypical freaking high school reunion scene, this is it. It's just like insert awkward high school reunion.
Yeah, where the president of the senior class is like, oh, super I'm Betty Benson, it. And I'm like totally popular. And weren't you into tennis or something? Oh, I don't even remember. It was so long ago.
You're having a hard time placing me?
I was the president of the senior class.
And Joe, she gets her name tag and button, and she dabbles like whether or not she wants to put it on or not. She ends up putting it in her purse and she's just really unsure of herself, really awkward. It's not going well.
And that's when a guy approaches her and she kind of like has that glimmer of recognition in her eye. And it turns out to be this dude called Reed Carter, who was kind of like her high school romance.
Yeah. It seemed like he was a little... But it never actually, like, happened, you know?
Yeah, so, like, they liked each other back in high school, and he's like, I really didn't expect to see you here. And she's like, yeah, I really wasn't planning on coming. And then that's when the freaking annoying president of the senior class is like, okay, Bulldogs, let's welcome our 84 state champs. Yes. Let's form two pep rally lines. And she's like, Joe,
let's
like,
get the fuck out of here.
Reed, like, we gotta go.
Reed is played by James Wilder. He has a very familiar face. I compare him to like a Johnny Depp type.
Yes.
He's
Johnny Depp. And then who's that other dude? Big in the 90s. I'm like looking at his face.
The dude from Scream.
Yes.
Yeah. Skeet Ulrich.
Yes.
Skeet. My man.
Oh, Skeet, motherfucker.
My man's name is Skeet. But yeah, so James Wilder, I mean, he didn't really do much. He's definitely worked, but it's just one-off titles, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing of note.
So they escape out onto the football field because they're actually holding this reunion at their high school, and they're walking the field and... they're kind of like recounting their high school days. And we learned that they were supposed to go to the prom together.
I wrote that Joe looks like a Disney villain here.
Dude, pretty accurate. Because she has the shawl like all fanned out.
Yeah, and it's dark and she's just real stoic. Yeah. Out of place.
And there we learn that when Reed came to pick her up for the prom, she hid in her backyard. And totally stood him up. That is weird.
And he was like, where were you? She's like, I was up in a tree just smoking cigarettes. What?
Okay.
That sounds horrible.
And then he's like, gosh, you're just too smart and too strong to fail. It was hell trying to make you my girlfriend. And she's like, well, I always did fancy a little romance. And then he's like, well, I have an idea. Why don't we go back to my hotel for a nightcap? And she says, oh, I have a better idea. And you're thinking, like, let's get down to business right here on this field. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah!
50-yard line. Let's go.
And she's like, let's meet for breakfast tomorrow.
And he's like, man, it was always hard getting into your pants.
Yeah, and she's like, you're not going to get me into bed, okay? So I'm happy to continue this conversation tomorrow, but... Getting a little late. So we go back to Melrose Place where Billy is coming home from work and he's yelling for Allison because they've got dinner reservations at some restaurant.
Oh, right.
At Pizzino's or something. And she he's like, Allison, Allison. And he finds her in her bed with a full freaking like pizza delivery box.
This is great.
She has a six pack of beer.
She got a sixer.
And she rolled the TV into her room and she's just like chowing down in her bed.
Just because Amanda yelled at her.
Yeah.
Like the effects of Amanda are full pizza and six pack worthy.
Yeah, she's a total bitch.
That's intense.
Yeah.
It's intense. Allison's like her defense of this is like, at least it's not a bottle of vodka. And she's like, I'm working on a cocoon type thing.
Yeah. Billy's like, so I guess we're not going out to dinner. And she's like, I can't, not tonight. And she's like, it's so weird. It's like Amanda just woke up today and decided to hate me. I mean, what's her problem?
And Billy's like, I think I know.
But doesn't say that, actually.
It's because I fucked her. She crushed a quarter of that pizza.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, I counted.
No.
There's a quarter missing.
Okay.
Of that pizza. So we're back at Melrose Place, and Amanda has changed the locks on Jake's door.
And taken all of his stuff out and put it in the courtyard.
Put it out on the street. And what do you expect, Amanda? You can't just go doing that to Jake and expect him to be like, well, I guess I'll collect my shit and go.
Jake,
and not say anything.
Jake walks in and sees his stuff and is like, Amanda, get your ass out here!
Get your fucking ass outside!
And just starts screaming.
And like, Jake gets less and less things. It's like a painting, some little like door stopper statue, and like a box.
He has got some weird stuff.
Every time he moves, he gets less and less stuff.
And Amanda's like, look, I tried to get you out of here, but you didn't listen. And he's like, yeah, eviction is a legal proceeding. You cannot do this. It's not on a bimbo's whim, okay?
And she's just lying to people now.
She's a liar.
She's just like, oh, I got a letter from Joe. Get your ass out.
Yeah.
He's like, you might be in there tonight, but be out of there by tomorrow.
And he's like, you know what? This is ridiculous. And he knocks down his door. He kicks it open. And she's like, that is property damage. I can have you arrested.
It's like, shut the fuck up, Amanda.
Yeah.
You suck. Now we cut over to Sydney's escapade.
Right. So she's in a hotel room with the gentleman who offered her $2,000. And she's like, all right, so let's get started. And he's like, wait, before we do, how much am I supposed to pay you? And she's like,
stop fronting. It's 2K.
You know what it is. He's like, and what would you like? What am I paying for? And she's like,
for the best night of your life. Yeah. Let's go.
And then he's like, all right, we'll turn around, Sydney. And she's like, okay, what are you going to do to me? And then he's like, you're under arrest.
Dun, dun, dun.
So yeah, she's done. She's gotten arrested.
Now Michael bails her out for 500.
Yeah, that's it.
That's nothing.
And they're walking out of the police station and he's like, oh, the cop said pandering. What does that mean? And she's like, oh, it was so weird. They were just doing a sweep on the street and they picked me up. I mean, I know the charges will be dropped. Honest, just a weird mistake.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Bye. Michael's back in his, like, season one Nice Michael shirt.
And is he on the crutches or is he just walking, like, for real now?
He's on the crutches still. But he's able to, like, pop up out of the seat pretty good. Like,
he went from, seriously, that day before, he could not put weight on his legs to, like, I'm a pro at crutches.
So basically, like, ooh, he has a tough sprain.
It's very weird. So he keeps on like pressing her and she finally reveals that she just fell into it. And she's like,
I thought it was dates. I thought it was dates at first. And then they gave me money and fucked me.
And Michael just looks at her and says, I can't believe this. You're a whore. Horrible.
And Michael is, he gives you that sneer. that like happy, that like evil smile.
Yeah,
I love this Michael. And he's basically like, Michael now has one up on Sydney.
Yeah, and then Sydney's like, not anymore, I promise. And then Michael's like, last night you're screaming at me in shooters and now you're begging me. Well, you know what, Sid? You owe me big time. And when it is time to collect, I don't want any crap.
Nope.
Got it?
And she's like, got it, mister.
Whatever you say, okay?
I love it when Michael has shit on somebody.
Yeah, he is not someone that I would cross paths with.
Nope. So now we go to this awkward breakfast at what appears to be like a Howard Johnson's. Runny eggs, shitty muffins, dirt coffee.
And Joe has just finished regaling Reed Parker of her failed marriage and her crazy ex-boyfriend and everything that she's been doing in the last 10 years. And she asks him, well, what have you been doing? And he reveals, well, I just got out of a federal penitentiary. I did 2 years on a plea bargain for possession of narcotics with intent to sell. But I'm innocent.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, buddy.
Yeah, so apparently he owned a company where he chartered boats out of Florida. And he was taking a group to the Carolinas. And it turns out they were smugglers.
Yep.
And he went down in the fire.
He went too deep into the waters, and he didn't know what they were bringing on the boat.
Yeah, so he lost his boats, he lost 2 years of his life, and now he's ready to make amends and do better in the world.
And Joe doesn't really bat an eyelash at this. She's just like, eh, whatever.
Well, no, she's surprised.
Yeah,
he says, well, are you gonna go running and screaming from the table? And she's like, well, no, but, you know, it's just like that kind of stuff. That's crazy.
Don't phase Joe.
So Reed comments that it's crazy that they had to wait for 10 years to really talk. And he suggests that she stay an extra day and they go check out the wine country and spend some more time together.
And Joe's basically like, eh, I'm good. I'm gonna go home.
Yeah. And he's like, is it the jail thing?
Is it the jail thing?
And she's like, no, it's a Joe thing.
It's a Joe thing, you know.
Joe is just returning back to her apartment and she's unpacking. And Allison is visiting her. And Joe is kind of telling Allison how the trip went. And she tells her all about Reed Parker. And that she gets to reconnect with him. And they had a really nice time. But then says, well, you know, he just got out of jail for drug possession. And so Allison is like, ooh, that doesn't sound so good. And Joe is like, well, he's innocent. I mean, he told me the whole story and
I believe him.
Do I sound naive? And Allison is like, well, those things do happen. So I guess you just got to trust the person. And she's like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Fuck that. Don't trust him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, You know certain crimes that are like, okay, well, I could see how that would happen. But this dude got arrested, convicted, and served time for smuggling drugs.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to contest. And then she's like, look, there's just something about him. I miss him. So it's like, oh, God, what is this going to be?
Yeah, here we go. Something's going to happen with this. So now we go to the most expensive, luxurious apartment in Melrose Place, Amanda's, and she has an emergency. Her faucet is broken, so she comes running out of her apartment.
Soaking wet.
Jake's there, and she's like, Jake, you get up, gotta get up to my apartment now. My pipes are broken, you gotta fix it.
And Jake is like, oh, well, Amanda, I'd love to help you, but you see, I am kicked out of my apartment, so I'm going to have a hard time to get my tools. And she's like, I don't know. And then Billy comes out of his apartment in a towel.
Doesn't make any sense
at
all.
What is he doing?
Because he's like, my water shut off.
Oh, that's why.
He's like, something's wrong with my water. But
why would you go out into the courtyard in a towel?
But because you're just coming from the shower. But how would Billy's water be connected to Amanda's sink?
Well, because they're all in the same building. The water's all connected in the same pipes.
So all the water flows through Allison's, flows through Amanda's
sink? It makes sense. It makes sense. So Billy's standing there and she's like, Billy, do you know anything about plumbing? And he's like, no. And then she's like, come on, Jake, please. And Jake's like, I'll do it, but only if you'll let me back in my apartment. And then she's like, fine, whatever. Okay. And he's like, so.
All he does is put his shirt on the broken sink.
So he's like, you hear that, Billy? Like, you're my witness. She's letting me back in.
Yeah.
So they go up to her apartment, and this faucet is literally like a geyser. Like, coming out. And it's just like, dude, Amanda, I know you might not be like a handyman and might not really know what to do in that situation, but trying to like block the flow of water so it would drain into your sink by putting a towel over it.
Yeah, put something on it, man.
So Jake immediately takes his shirt off and puts it on top of it. And that slows the stream of water and then has it drain into the sink as opposed to being shot all over the apartment.
Think, Amanda. What would your daddy do? She's
so dumb.
What would daddy do?
He would extort somebody to do it.
Right.
Amanda's like, thanks, Jake. I owe you. And he says, of course, in Jake fashion, no, you don't.
You don't owe me anything. Jake hates being owed stuff or owing stuff.
Yeah, hates it.
Back to Joe and Jake. Joe tried to cash the 15 grand check.
Finally, she tries to cash it. And she's like, Jake, there's a problem I need to talk to you about. And he's like, let me guess, the check bounced. And she's like, yeah. And Jake's like, look, the feds have frozen all of the money that Palmer paid me until they figure everything out. So you'll get your money. So it'll just be a little bit longer. And then she's like, look, it doesn't matter, but it matters to you. So I get it.
And then Jake calls out Joe for the letter that she may or may not have written.
Right, because that's something that Amanda told Jake, that Joe was writing a letter as well to prove that he was a nuisance and that he like broke up her apartment. And Joe's like, that woman is such a liar. I never wrote a letter like that. You know I wouldn't do that to you. With everything you've gone through, you need somebody that cares about you. She is not good for you, Jake. You need somebody that's going to believe in you.
And then Jake immediately takes this to mean like, oh, she means herself. She wants to get back.
And he's like, look, Joe, I don't think we should be getting back together. And she's like, I wasn't insinuating that. I'm just saying you need someone better than Amanda. And it's not me. Believe me, the last thing I want to do is get involved with you again.
So now she's mad at Jake. Two steps backwards.
Yeah.
Daddy calls Amanda.
He wants to meet.
He wants to meet up. And he just, there. So they meet up. They're sitting on a park bench. And Palmer to Amanda is basically like, doesn't look good. I'm going to prison. He's like, what do you mean, Daddy? We'll just get new lawyers.
You're innocent, Daddy. And that's all that matters. If these lawyers aren't doing a good job, we'll get you new ones.
And he's like, yeah, Amanda, I'm guilty. So, like, I did all this shit. And she's like, I don't understand, Daddy.
Look, I needed cash and I did what I thought I had to. I mean, I've done this kind of thing before and I had some close calls, but yeah, this one got me.
And I quote her as saying, Daddy, no. And then Palmer's just like, well... So Palmer says probably the most creepiest shit I've heard in this episode, where he's like, look, Daddy's going to have to disappear for a little bit. And he looks at Amanda and he says, you're a big girl now. What? She's a full grown adult. Who would say this to their child? They have the weirdest, grossest relationship.
They really do. And he's like, I'll make it up to you, I promise. And she's not having it. She's like, no, Daddy, no. And she gets up and she just runs away.
And it's probably the last time we'll see Palmer.
Yeah, thank God. I hated his character.
Later, Palmer.
Yeah, he's a little jerk.
Michael goes to Sydney's apartment. And of course, at first, Sydney's like, oh, great, Michael, you're here. It's been such a long time since you've been in my apartment.
And he's like, look, Sid, I found a way for you to pay me back, okay?
He says, keep your hands off me.
He really does.
He fucking hates her.
I know. And he's like, look, you're going to get Lauren's most beautiful girl. I'm talking the best one she has. And you're going to get her to go down to San Diego and she's going to seduce Robert. And I need you to get that on camera. That's what you can do to get me to pay me back. And it's like, that is a very big request.
He says, get it on video.
I mean, okay, you've got to, number one, hire one of these girls. Mm-hmm. And they're like hundreds, if not thousands of dollars an hour. To have someone be like, okay, I'll commit to going to San Diego for 4 days.
I think there are a couple. San Diego. There are a couple hundy. Because she was like $2,000. Like, well, that's a lot. And she doesn't get that.
Don't you think like $500 would be like an equivalent of maybe an hour?
Maybe.
I mean, this is a tall order. And then you have to have a third person get it on video. Who's paying for this?
Well,
I mean, Sydney's got to get back in the game just to get this done, to pay for it.
Maybe Sydney can call in a favor. Maybe she can get Gina Gershon.
That is a big favor.
Yeah. Joe's coming home into Melrose Place, and Reed just jumps out of the bushes.
Well, first, we don't know it's Reed. She's walking, and she's like, hello? Because, like, she senses a presence. And then he just, like, steps out of the shadows and is like, hi, Joe. I came to your apartment earlier today, and you weren't here. So I've just been waiting here for hours for you.
And we've heard that line before.
Oh, I'm like, my heart's racing. Like, yes.
Fucking, that's Paul territory.
Yeah.
You guys remember Paul, right?
Yeah. And living in the same apartment as Joe. Sandy used to live there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she's kind of like, what? This is weird. And he was like, I'm just waiting to surprise you. And my thought is, how did he get her address? I mean, they must have exchanged them, or I don't know. But that's freaking creepy.
He just stalked her.
He lives up in the Bay Area, and him to come down, I mean, that's a 6-hour drive.
Yeah, that's you don't do that for people you don't want to wear.
Yeah. Well, people you hardly know, you're like, I surprised you. It's like,
I'll find you. Yeah.
So next up, Amanda comes over to Jake's house, and she's just beside herself with grief, and she's crying, and she's like, I need to talk to you, Jake. It's about my father. You were right. You were right all along.
Daddy lied to me.
He did it just like you said. He did it all.
And I disagree with this so much.
What, that Jake is like, come here, yeah, and like consoles Jake, her. And yeah, is like
Jake
her.
Consoles her. I'd have been like,
get out of
my apartment. The fuck out
of
here.
And that would be really within his character, because remember when Joe doubted him for like a second?
Yeah.
Like, Amanda's like kicking him out of the apartment complex over this.
He's like, I'd have been like, I told you. I told you.
Yeah, so credits.
Roll them credits. To recap, Michael's out of the wheelchair and on crutches.
Sydney gets arrested for prostitution.
Amanda finds the truth about Daddy.
And then she lets Jake stay at Melrose Place.
And Allison loses the microcomp ad.
Amanda takes out her rejection issues on Allison.
Jane gets another blowjob.
Billy sweats very abnormally. And Joe goes to her high school reunion, where she gets reacquainted with Reed.
You find any 90s moments?
A couple. How about you?
A couple.
When Billy's working out and Allison makes that Arnold Schwarzenegger reference, and she's like, okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger, don't work out too hard.
Meanwhile, Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't do any cardio at all. Yeah, Billy's exercise shorts. They're like very camp counselor 90s with like an elastic waistband and pockets.
Yeah. I have the whole concept of going to a high school reunion. I mean, with Facebook.
I would never go.
And, I mean, now we have Facebook. And like for my tenure when it happened, like it was seriously like they did not have enough interest for people to go to merit having an event.
Why would you go?
Because you can see everything that everybody's doing on social media now.
Yeah, they're obsolete. Anyone I would care to talk to from high school, I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've got, again, Jake reading the want ads in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Joe taking that old school suitcase to her...
Oh, yeah.
Her reunion.
No wheels?
I mean, it's so wild to think that, like, seriously, for, like, 300 years, there were, like, no advancements made to suitcases.
No one decided to put wheels on them.
No one thought to put wheels on them. Like, we just carry these. Like, when did the wheels happen? Probably early 2000s.
No.
Late 90s.
I had wheels on a suitcase in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
This is 94 and beginning of 94. And Joe's having to lug that thing around.
I had a wheelie suitcase.
Okay.
I think.
Got anything else?
Oh, I got something else. Amanda had some serious mom jeans on when she was kicked, when her...
The faucet thing
When
happened.
Her shit flooded, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw those too. And then when... Joe is unpacking from her trip from San Francisco. She's just taking magazine out of magazine just out of her suitcase. Like she brought probably half of her suitcase was filled with magazines.
I've got my last one is Amanda's phone that she calls her dad on. It's corded.
Mm. What did you learn from this episode?
My lesson here is not, just don't get involved in anything with Amanda. Don't. Seriously, nothing happens positively. And when it is positive, it goes south.
Yeah.
She's a terrible person. She's a bad person to work with. She is a nightmare in a breakup. And she's a terrible landlord. Remember, they were like, what did they say? They fixed her plumbing? And they were like, you want me to update the whole building just so it's safe? And she's like, nah, just do mine.
Yeah, she's a jerk.
That's fucked up.
She's a total jerk. Yeah, so my lesson is ditch the reunion and just check Facebook.
Yeah, that's a good lesson.
Yeah, that's everything you need to know.
Then they won't end up in the bushes outside of your place. So now it's time for Bitch of the Week!
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch.
Last week, Jenny, you nominated Allison.
I did.
And I nominated Jane. The people have spoken, and with 79% of the vote, Allison was the Bitch of the Week.
Yeah!
Jenny, you win.
Why, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for agreeing with me.
That was bad of you, everyone. I'm very upset with you.
So, this week, I think it was abundantly clear that the Bitch of the Week is obviously Amanda. Obviously. I mean, we've got to come from, like, so many different angles here. She is taking out her frustrations with Billy on Allison and penalizing her at work. So taking out her personal frustrations on her. She goes to Joe at work to proposition her to backstab Jake, which is like, okay, don't come to me at work and for that purpose. And I think we've really just outlined all of her bitchiness throughout this entire episode. So I don't even think I have to say anymore. She sucks. She's a bitch. Vote for Amanda, please.
My Bitch of the Week is Joe.
What?
Yeah.
You're cray, dude. Why?
Are you going to cut me off the whole time?
No, I'm just wondering. Tell me.
Okay, here's why. Joe, somehow, some way, we lost you. Because the Joe that we used to know would never go to a high school reunion. She would get that, the Joe I know, would get that invitation in the mail and light it on fire. Or throw it out the window while they're doing 90 on the highway on a motorcycle and never think again about it.
Out a window on a motorcycle?
Yep. Out of a window of a motorcycle. The Joe, this Joe, shows up to a high school reunion looking like a loser, like a fish out of water, like, oh, I don't know anybody. Joe, give me a break. Give me a break. Get out of there. What are you doing? Put your leather back on. Get out of this fucking sweater. You're just bitchy. You're being a bitch. And then you got mad at Jake for kind of nothing. And you took two steps backward with him again. And you asked him about that fucking money again. Do you know what that got you? Do you know what that got you? Joe Reynolds, bitch of the week.
Well, guys, it's up to you. You tell us who is the real bitch.
On Twitter and our Facebook group. Get in there.
So, Dan, this episode was called Reunion Blues. What would you rename it?
This is a terrible name for an episode because the reunion was like 10 minutes. It was like 10 minutes of the entire episode. So I'm renaming this thing Paid Mistakes.
Oh.
You know why?
Kind of.
Because Allison is paying for Billy's mistakes at work. Sydney has a paid mistake.
Quite literally.
Quite literally. With her hooking. Michael is trying to set up Robert with a paid mistake against Jane. Amanda has a paid mistake, mistaking her father for a person who isn't a criminal. And that's it.
Cool. Mine is kind of reminiscent of what you're just saying. I renamed this. It's a setup.
Cool. That's really great. Good job.
Thanks.
Now we're on to predictions. I predict that Joe and Reed, they get together and something really bad happens on a boat. I think it gets right back into boating. I remember a boat vaguely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe I do too.
And maybe they have a baby.
What?
I feel like they have a baby.
Oh my God, please.
I don't know. I think Allison's just going to start boozing again.
Please do.
Now that Amanda's on her hardcore again, why not crack open the vodka? And you already made it. She made a reference to it.
We need to spice up that storyline.
Yeah. I think Robert's going to take the bait.
Hmm.
I think he's going to bang a hooker and that'll be Robert's swan song. He'll be done with Jane and off the show. And I think Michael's going to make Sydney his sex slave. And
one can only hope.
And I want him to angry jerk off at some point.
Oh my God. Okay, well, I think that this Reed guy could be the potential to be the new Keith.
Oh yeah?
I think he could. So I think that Robert is not going to fall for the plant, but I think that they're going to get some compromising photo and video that kind of speaks otherwise, that like isn't really what's going on. And Jane's going to see it. And then I think she's going to sleep with Michael because she thinks that Robert cheated on her. But then the truth is going to come out that he really didn't. And it was like some weird angle or like some weird like situation that happened and she only saw part of the video or something. But then by that point, the damage would already be done. And then Robert's like, you know what? This is really crazy. I'm out of here. So I think that's what's going to happen. I think that it's definitely going to come out about Amanda and Billy. And I'm just waiting. I feel like Amanda has to lord this over Allison. And we're going to work up to it. Like, she's going to continue to get, like, worse and worse with Allison at work. And then, like, cherry on top, she's going to deliver the news that, oh, yeah, and me and Billy hooked up.
Let's get it.
So I think that's going to totally happen. And then I think that Jake is not going to take Amanda back based on his whole principles of, like, you defy me, you question me, you're out of my life.
You don't trust me.
Yeah. So we shall see.
We shall see. We got an email from our musical correspondent.
Oh, Jill.
Jill. She says, hey, guys. She has several music substitutions for this episode. The first one being Billy's completely gratuitous, nearly naked workout.
Thank you, Jill. I'm glad that we weren't alone in this.
She said, if you guys haven't watched this yet, you're going to have a field day with this scene.
It's horrible.
The original song was Always Believed in You by Archangels.
What is that?
I don't know.
Oh.
The next is when Joe first shows up at our high school reunion. The original song playing was Every Breath You Take by The Police. Every breath you take. And then finally, during Joe's walk with Reed after the reunion, the original song was I Ain't Missing You by John Waite.
Cool.
Yeah.
I feel like the songs add so much.
Yeah. She said, keep up the great work, guys. You make my drive to work so much more fun.
Oh, thank you, Jill.
She also says, I have good news and bad news on the Christmas episode from last week. Bad news is the weird Christmas jingle playing when Billy runs pantless through Melrose Place was not a substitution.
What?
That's the music. And the good news is the offensively bad Christmas carol playing when Billy runs through the airport was the original song. The original song was Elvis Presley's version of Here Comes Santa Claus.
Oh.
Here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. And that's it. So, thank you all for listening. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. You can check us out. If you want to contribute to the podcast, like our new patron, Shelly.
Thank you, Shelly.
Thanks, Shelly. You can go to patreon.com/MelrosePod and donate to us $1. And you will unlock an episode that we released today that's a bonus episode only for patrons that spotlights Katya and Nikki. So you can do that.
We love smut.
And we love you.
Bye.
Bye.